Mark Sanchez, I've been doing news now for some 30 years, two languages all over the world, and right here in the good old USA. Interviewed four presidents, worked at four U.S. major television networks. I think news should be honest and direct and impactful. And this is Direct Impact. I want to talk about RFK Jr. RFK Jr. is convinced that his uncle and his dad were likely killed for their beliefs and even suggests that it was a government hit. He even talks about having to protect himself because he worries these days about his own safety. This guy is the newest phenomenon politically. And like his uncle did in Vietnam, he questions the intentions of our military-industrial complex and suggests, for example, that we actually goaded Russia into going into Ukraine. It is because of comments like those and others that he seems to be despised. I mean, despised by the establishment and corporate media.
Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said that mainstream media pundits hate him so much, they may cover him more negatively than former President Donald Trump. Let's watch.
It's interesting to me because I've been really, slammed in a way that I think is unprecedented, even more than President Trump was slammed by the mainstream, by the corporate media.
Maybe because of it, RFK Jr. has the highest favorable ratings of any politician running for president right now. He's viewed favorably by 49% of respondents, unfavorably by 30%, according to the recent Forbes poll. That means he has a net favorable, the delta, right, is 19 points. 19 points is his favorability rating. President Biden has a negative anywhere between 9 and 11 favorability rating. The Republican frontrunner, Donald Trump, has a negative 10-point favorability rating. Negatives. Mr. Kennedy's most important favorables may be among those high-powered influencers that we've been hearing about lately. And I'll give you some examples of what's going on with this. Tech moguls are supporting him. It includes former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, Social Capital founder Chamath Palihapitiya, and venture capitalist David Sachs. Billionaire Twitter owner Elon Musk has even hosted him for some Twitter Spaces discussions. And then, though, there's his anti-COVID vaccine stance, for which Democrats are really going after him.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we respectfully requested that you rescind Mr. Kennedy's invitation to appear here due to his repeated and very recent statements that spread dangerous anti-Semitic and anti-Asian conspiracy theories and attempted to move into executive session because House rules prohibit public testimony that degrades or defames people. His reckless rhetoric helped fuel anti-Semitic incidents, which, for the record, are at the highest level in the United States since 1970.
Perhaps one of the most outrageous attacks on Kennedy comes from, ironically enough, or maybe purposefully, President Biden's former spokesperson, Jen Psaki, who, despite having no journalistic qualifications, I should add, now anchors a news show on MSNBC. And here she is attacking Republicans for daring to support Kennedy.
Well, Republicans seem to have a new favorite Democrat, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And his long-shot presidential run against Joe Biden have become something of a fixation in right-wing circles, a bit of an obsession. Leading Republican candidate Donald Trump has openly praised him. Fox News has dedicated a considerable amount of airtime to him, raving over everything from his workout routine to his family name, yes, Fox and the Kennedy name, and how he is, quote, polling so well against Joe Biden.
So what you just heard is a classic hit job. It's the furthest thing from a fair and balanced journalistic approach to storytelling that one could witness. And that's not to say that Kennedy should not be questioned for some of the things he said and some of the things he's done. But again, the ferocity of the attack, with no room for nuance, no room for benefit of doubt, makes many voters think, you know what? He must be doing something right. And joining us now to talk about this, to discuss this topic about RFK Jr. further, is Dr. Wilmer Leon. Dr. Leon is a renowned political scientist, syndicated columnist, and host of the Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. Thanks so much, Professor, for joining us.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Rick.
So the Democrats hate him and the Republicans hate him. What gives?
Well, first of all, they hate him because he's a Kennedy. And even though there's a generational divide, that's in American politics, that's a very formidable name. You don't want to go up against a Kennedy.
But the Democrats like him because he's a Kennedy, though, right?
Well,
they should, right?
Well, people who are voting Democrat love him because he's a Kennedy. The elite, they are having a real problem with him because he has a very serious populist, a very serious anti-war message. Following in the footsteps of his father, following in the footsteps of his uncle.
Well, his uncle was killed for being anti-war.
His uncle was killed for being anti-war.
Now, I'm going on the limb on saying that, but actually, I'm paraphrasing RFK Jr., who recently has made comments to that very effect, essentially saying, what the hell are they hiding? It's been 60 years, and they still don't want to release any of the documents.
And there's an awful lot of history, there's an awful lot of data, there's an awful lot of research to support that position.
And let's bring our viewers up to date on that. So John F. Kennedy, his uncle, wanted to end the war in Vietnam. The folks in the Pentagon and the CIA did not. He also had other varied things he wanted to do around the world, even make a rapprochement with Fidel Castro, believe it or not, and they didn't want him to do that either. And then one day he mysteriously gets shot with a guy who's never fired a rifle before.
And one of the issues with the Cuba, the thing was that if we go on this on the conspiracy side, which doesn't mean it isn't real, that the mafia wanted Cuba to be returned back to its glory days.
Yeah.
And by his agreeing with rapprochement with Castro, that meant that wasn't going to happen.
Well, and the mafia hated him anyway because of everything that his little brother had done, which
exactly.
is the father, which brings us back to this. The little brother was the father of the man who's now running for president, who seems to be hated only, maybe the only ones who hate him more than the Democrats and the Republicans in the political world, is the corporate media. Oh my God, they are just, it is vicious what they're doing to this guy.
Well, I think that's because they're serving the interests of their benefactors. And now what we find, instead of independent journalists such as yourself, what we find are more corporate interests that are, whose messages and narratives are being articulated by the Times, by the Post, by MSNBC, and so many of the other outlets. So there's very little room, very little space for his message to be properly analyzed.
What do you think they fear most about him? You know that Shakespearean term, right? Thou doth protest too much.
Yes.
Makes me think, man, the fact that you're just waylaying this guy makes you think there's something you know about him that worries you, and that is?
Anti-war. Of the things that he's articulating, I went to his website. Honest government, reconciliation, heal the divide, environmental cleanup, revitalization, peace, bring it home.
He thinks, by the way, among other things, that we all but did everything to get the Russians into Ukraine, that we provoked that situation. And, he says that.
And he is wrong as the day. Well, no, because now he's changed his position.
Right.
Because now he tries to play both sides.
Well, he's saying we're responsible for it. He said if we had just talked to those guys, they wouldn't have done this, right?
He's right about that, but then he also wants to talk about, well, We're protecting democracy in Ukraine, and which, if there was democracy in Ukraine, the United States would not have overthrown the democratically elected Ukrainian Yanukovych government in 2014. So he tries to play kind of both sides by saying, well, both parties were guilty, and therefore, which is anything couldn't be further from the truth.
Do you believe that when the media attacks him for all the vaccine stuff he's done, some of which doesn't make sense to me, by the way, but, you know, as my wife and my kids will tell you, I say and do things sometimes that don't make sense, too.
Sure.
You know, we're all creatures of this planet and of God, and we make mistakes. We're all imperfect, and perhaps he has said some things that were kind of goofy. But they viciously attack him for that. Because what they're really trying to do is shut him down on something else.
Well, but then of course you got to throw in the vaccine manufacturers.
Yeah.
They aren't going to be too happy with his anti-vaccine. And when you look at the amount of money that's been made from the COVID vaccine, whether it's vaccines, whether it's anti-war, we're talking about money interests. Biden wants to send another $25 billion over to Ukraine. Lockheed Martin is very, very happy about that.
I was watching the Republican candidates the other day debate, and my God, I know, and you're right to laugh, because I had to turn it off. Just a bunch of angry old men
and a woman
reminiscing about the past and fighting each other. Neither one of them could take a step without falling. And they were like, no, if you put me there, I'll kill all the Russians. No, I'll kill the Chinese. No, I'll get the Iranians. And they're all... It just, gosh, man, I was watching this thing and I was saying, with very few exceptions, there was nothing new, just the same old crap.
It was superficial talking points. There was really no substantive policy that was put forth. They basically attacked each other. And I thought many
with one exception, that one guy, Raswani, is that his name? Or did I mispronounce his
close
name?
Close enough.
Yeah. He actually came out and said some of the things that we're talking about. And it's not because I agree with him, but because I'd like to hear different perspectives that we can debate. That's not happening in America.
Except a lot of what he was articulating is worn, rehashed. When he talks about energy policy, and he says we need to burn more coal, we need to drill more, we need to frack more. And embrace nuclear. Wrong answer, guy. I mean, been there, done that.
Yeah.
And the planet is warming.
Well, a lot of these guys.
And he said that the global warming is bogus, and that policy, anti-global warming policy has done more to hurt people than global warming itself.
Do you think, given that he said that, but he was also critical of the wars, do you think when these guys go out there and take that kind of forum, that public stage, they know who they're really talking to, and it's the donor class, and they want to send the right message so they get a big check?
Yes, but...
Really?
I would always tell my students all the time, when you're watching an event like the State of the Union or a debate, mm-hmm. there are multiple audiences that are being targeted at different times, which is why if you really pay attention, some of the messaging can cross and bleed over and sound a little inconsistent, because there are multiple audiences that they're trying to reach at different points of the presentation.
Well, at one time, Raswani said that Nikki Haley was actually auditioning for a position with one of the big military contractors. He told her in the middle of the debate, and I thought, boy, he kind of nailed that one.
But for a guy who's auditioning to be Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate, same Broadway, different theaters.
They all have a purpose. Can you imagine a scenario where it comes down to RFK Jr. or Joe Biden?
Because the DNC has already decided that there won't be any debates. So
they're going to take this guy out before he even gets to that position, just like they did to Bernie.
They're going to do to Bernie. It might go a different... Well, yes, by not having any debates, then that becomes... That's just a huge, huge hurdle that Robert Kennedy Jr. has to overcome, because there are no debates. So basically, the DNC has... It's a coronation of Joe Biden for a second term.
So you think they're not having debates because they don't think that Joe Biden, given his condition, his age, et cetera, has the stamina to withstand, or the intellectual acuity to be able to...
Cognitive disability. In fact, I will say to you, I will be very surprised if Joe Biden makes it to November of 24. I think that they're going to give us a bait and switch, and the bait and switch is going to be Gavin Newsom. It's not going to be Robert Kennedy Jr.
How about Kamala Harris? Why are you skipping her?
For
she's
what?
The vice president.
For what?
Well, she's the vice president. If they move out the president...
Oh, you mean to run, have her run? No. I was being a little facetious there. No, absolutely not.
You think she's weak?
I think she is an empty vessel.
Wow.
Stay right there.
She's in way over her head.
I want to ask you about, speaking of Debbie Wasserman Schultz,
okay.
what the whole anti-Semite thing, she was, you know, shocked that he would say what he did. And, you know, this whole accusation of anti-Semite in this country, anytime it's convenient to try and basically take somebody out, it's a little troubling. And that's not to say that somebody who's anti-Semitic should not be called out.
Correct.
But there, but by the grace of God, go all of us, and we all make mistakes. And I have said things that are insensitive about every group, including my own family. But it was interesting watching that, and I'd like to hear what you think about that and some other specific attacks okay. that we're going to be going through, okay? Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dr. Leon about this issue. By the way, I'd like to continue the conversation with you. What do you say we do it on Twitter? My handle is Rick Sanchez TV. I'll be looking for you again. Rick Sanchez TV, okay? When we come back, you're going to see RFK Jr. attacked, verbally, of course, in Congress by Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. What's this all about? We'll be right back.
Chairman, we respectfully requested that you rescind Mr. Kennedy's invitation to appear here due to his repeated and very recent statements that spread dangerous anti-Semitic and anti-Asian conspiracy theories and attempted to move into executive session because House rules prohibit public testimony that degrades or defames people. His reckless rhetoric helped fuel anti-Semitic incidents, which, for the record, are at the highest level in the United States since 1970. They have nearly tripled in the last 6 years.
So there it is, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We just watched it, mm-hmm. attacking him, essentially accusing him of being an anti-Semite for suggesting, or what seemed to me, let mm-hmm. me not put words in his mouth, it seemed to me that what he had done was he had come to the conclusion, erroneous or not, that there are certain DNA structures on this planet that some groups have which make them less or more susceptible to certain diseases or viruses, including the COVID virus. And she said because he picked those two groups that he was an anti-Semite and a racist. You say what?
I say that what she's really focused on is not anti-Semitism, but anti-Zionism. Hmm. And that there has been a real push of late to inflate the two.
Hmm.
And so...
But he wasn't even talking about Israel.
But in the past, he has.
I see.
And...
Well, that's why. So she was gunning for him, is what you're saying.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so. Because what he said, all you have to say... There are a number of ailments that are unique to certain ethnicities, certain ethnic groups.
So I think what you're getting at is this. Heaven forbid anybody in American politics who sticks up for Palestinians.
Absolutely.
You might as well just take a dagger and stick it in your heart.
Absolutely.
Because once you say that, you're finished, you're through, and you'll never have any kind of political career.
Absolutely.
And he has actually done that.
He has done that, even though now the pressure that she's put on him, he's now had to go out and try to make amends and make people comfortable and all.
I've noticed that he is kowtowing a little bit ever since all of these accusations came in. And I get it, you know. I mean, I would have liked to see him stick to his guns on some issues, but he's not. He's backing down.
And he did the same thing on Ukraine.
Yeah.
The two things you don't want to be accused of. You don't want to be accused of being a Russian bot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be accused of being anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And so you'll find a lot of folks who will come out and say, well, Russia was wrong, but, because they're trying to defuse the Putin bot argument before it presents itself. And the other one is, Israel has a right to exist, but, and they're trying to defuse the anti-Semitic argument. And you can't have it both ways.
Let's talk about this now. Why has he become so incredibly popular? For a guy with probably the worst voice in the world and arguably very little support from any establishment or institutional part of the United States, from media politics down.
Because he has his own money, so he's not tied to the corporate interest.
Mm-hmm.
He is able to speak to a very populist message that is speaking to poverty in this country, is speaking to lack of opportunity in this country, and he's speaking to the demographic that the Democrats love to pander to but fail to support.
His popularity ratio is much higher than both Trump's and Biden's. In fact, he's at 19, they're like below 10, which negative.
Yes.
He's not. He's positive, right?
Correct.
What does that say? I mean, it's the message, isn't it?
It is the message. It is also the reality that, because I've got Biden stuff here, that Biden's approval rating, 41.6%, disapproval rating, 52.8%. That's an 11.2%.
I was wrong then. Yeah, I said 10. You got me. I was wrong by
1.2%. As an incumbent president, he's hustling backwards.
Yeah.
It's not working for him. Direction of the country, right direction, 24.9. Wrong track, 64.9. That's a negative 40% swing. So Joe Biden isn't doing well in spite of his fiction of Bidenomics. He's not doing well.
Let's talk about the vaccine issues that have presented themselves to him. And we have to separate those, right? Because pre-COVID, he was already embroiled in the vaccine controversy,
mm-hmm.
saying or suggesting to some regard that if you vaccinated your child, you probably could give them autism, which was a very controversial, and most of the medical professionals that I know that I talk to say that's crazy and nobody should go
Correct.
Around saying that.
Correct.
And I think it is.
Correct.
He's in trouble there.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
But, as you said earlier, you're not always right.
Correct.
And I applaud him for taking his position, as wrong as I think he is,
mm-hmm.
standing with that position. Don't equivocate. Say what you mean what you say. Don't go Ukraine on me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go Israel on me in terms of flipping your position
yeah.
and trying to placate. Tell the truth as you understand
it. Well, in that case, he could say, I would imagine, I would look at the camera and say, I had read studies that made me believe something that I later learned weren't true. I apologize for, no, you know what? I'm not apologizing. I may
he
have gotten
it.
That wrong. I believed it. I don't necessarily believe that now. In fact, and he said this in that hearing, he said, I have been vaccinated and all my children have been vaccinated. I am fully vaccinated in every vaccine that's out there, except, he said, COVID. That one I'm not going to take.
Well, some of that would have to do, I guess, with having been vaccinated as a child,
mm-hmm.
and as we all had to be in order to go to school in this country, mm-hmm. there were certain vaccinations that we had to get.
No, you should see us immigrants. We have a giant mark right here. I can take off my shirt and I'll show you a scar. Yeah.
So, you know, for him to say, I didn't get the COVID, and there is data to support the fact that whether it was Pfizer or whether it was one of the other mm-hmm. Pharmaceutical companies and manufacturers mm-hmm. of vaccine manufacturers, that they didn't do the testing they were supposed to do. That's not a bad argument.
Well,
as much as I disagree with it, it's not a bad argument.
We are living in a time where if you don't come at every controversy or issue and look at it, I say journalistically, but even if you're not a journalist, and look at it from who is being incentivized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that movie, JFK, Follow the Money,
mm-hmm.
who stands to gain?
Right.
Right. Ask yourself those questions in almost every regard. And you can't help then, even if it turns out that we're wrong, to ask the question, when so much money is at stake mm-hmm. for these vaccines,
mm-hmm.
why would they not then have someone pitch them to everyone, including children? And I have a right to say no. Mm-hmm. I don't want my child to take it. I don't think that at that age you should be taking that. But it seems like we are penalized for even asking that question. And the only reason I ask it, and I think people should ask it, is because there's money involved. Too much damn money.
You need who stands to benefit? Was it cui bono?
Yeah.
I think is the Latin phrase. So you know, something else just popped into my head about him. And the fact is, with all the money, with all of his wealth,
yeah.
he's been a public servant on the private side. Hmm. You know, when you look at his work in the ecology, and he's always been working for the betterment of the public, as opposed to somebody like Nancy Pelosi, who made her money as a politician and then wants to tell you, don't worry about it, I got $1,000 worth of ice cream in my freezer. He comes across to the public as authentic.
I just looked him up. His age. Mm-hmm. Check that out.
I can't see that.
69.
Okay.
Does that surprise you? He's like the new, he's the fresh face guy. He's 70, almost 70 years old.
And it's interesting because from a demographic perspective, a lot of folks now have no clue who his father was and have no clue who his uncle was. But
are you serious?
I mean, if you, my son is 21. If you ask my son,
who's RFK?
Okay, he'd probably be able to tell you he was if you ask him who JFK was, he'd be able to tell you he was a president. But he might not make the connection that RFK Jr. is his nephew.
That's kind of troubling.
Well, that shows you the problems.
No. I don't mean it's troubling because of your son. I mean, your son's no different than my kids or anybody else's kids. But it's the idea that
we don't teach history.
We've moved on. Yeah.
Right. We don't teach history. We don't teach. My son knows who RFK and JFK are because we've talked about assassinations and all those kinds of things in our home. But in terms of what's taught in the middle school and high school civics classes, if they even have them anymore, mm-hmm. you're absolutely right.
I'm wondering, as we close down this conversation, which, you know, you and I, we could go on forever. Do you think he's got a chance?
No. I'm going back to Bernie Sanders and what Hillary Clinton and Debbie Wasserman Schultz did to Bernie Sanders. And the big problem is no debates.
You know, it's a great conversation. We'll see what happens. But this is one of those phenomenons that comes around once in a while in what is a boring political spectrum. Suddenly, someone's shaking things up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what kind of run he has, and let's see how long this lasts. Good doctor, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Rick.
Really appreciate it. Before we go, I want to remind you of our mission. It's simple, really. I want to de-silo the world. We've got to stop living in these little boxes, right? Truths don't live in boxes. Truth is everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here, where we hope to provide some direct impact.